CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Heather Bosch. A memorial is getting underway at the Carter Presidential Center for the late President Jimmy Carter. CBS's Skylar Henry is in Atlanta.
The saying here for the Carter Center is that they want to wage peace, fight disease, and build hope. And that is something that the former president stood for and what he wanted this Carter Center to be. It's why this is the main stop here, if you will, as it relates to Atlanta. And where he will lie in repose following this service here. Already, we've seen dozens of people come out to the center to pay their respects, just as we have for the last several days.
Earlier today, bells tolled 39 times for the 39th president at the farmhouse in Plains, Georgia, where the president grew up.
It's a great feeling, you know, that a local peanut farmer was able to make such a tremendous impact on our country and in the world.
Ceremonies honoring President Carter move to the nation's capital next week. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports that is prompting even tighter security at certain airports.
After the recent deadly events in New Orleans and Las Vegas, and in advance of the certification of Electoral College votes, the funeral of former President Jimmy Carter, and the inauguration, the Transportation Security Administration has put new security measures in place. On some flights bound for the three major airports that serve the nation's capital, Reagan National, Dulles, and BWI, TSA officers will be deployed to gates to inspect carry-on bags.
There is no specific threat. A winter storm has arrived in the Midwest. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
From Topeka, Kansas, right through major hubs like St. Louis over towards Cincinnati, this is an area that's going to pick up heavy snow, ice, sleet, strong damaging winds.
He says there's a good potential for power outages and road conditions are deteriorating. It's the highest civilian honor.
From the East Room of the White House.
For the final time as president, I have the honor of bestowing the Medal of Freedom.
President Biden gave out the nation's highest civilian honor. Recipients included humanitarians.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom is awarded to Jose Andres.
Sports icons.
Irvin Magic Johnson.
Rock stars.
Bono changes the world through his art and activism.
And former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Her career has been dedicated to an eternal truth.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, The White House.
LeBron James breaks an NBA record set by Michael Jordan. James set the new record for 30-point games during the Los Angeles Lakers' victory over Atlanta. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A new report shows that Wisconsinites are being put in jail for unpaid parking tickets, and people of color are at even higher risk. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The report by the ACLU of Wisconsin shows most municipal courts across the state don't issue jail sentences or fines, known as carceral sanctions, but some still do. ACLU senior attorney Emma Shakeshaft says it seems that burden falls harder on under-resourced residents.
The detrimental effects of these forfeitures in general, and especially warrants and commitments, fall disproportionately on communities without resources, financial resources, and people of color.
Of the more than 200 municipal courts in Wisconsin, the report says about 52 still impose jail time and fines. If you find yourself in a municipal court and can't afford to pay your tickets, Shakeshaft says you have the right to request what's known as a poverty hearing to request payment alternatives. But the report says instead, most of the courts that still use carceral sanctions implement aggressive tactics, like jailing people for unpaid tickets to increase enforcement and funding. Shakeshaft notes some people have multiple unpaid tickets for city ordinance violations, from traffic or parking tickets to disorderly conduct and issues with vehicle registrations.
Paying that off can be an incredibly difficult task, and for people who can't afford it, they're just continuously kept in the legal system.
The ACLU of Wisconsin is asking that all municipal courts across the state end these practices and implement what it calls a more rational and equitable approach to addressing these debts. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. A decent amount of sunshine, though. Highs near 11 today, lows near 0 tonight, and highs near 13 on Sunday. However, wind chill values today, tonight, and tomorrow as cold as 10 to 15 below. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to the first Spotlight of 2025. And speaking of the new year, we'll hear Jane, Greg, and Calvin from Mountaineer On Air talk about whether or not they made New Year's resolutions.
Good morning. Welcome to Mountaineer On Air. Jane Mountaineer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us in about 15 minutes. Let us know how long the chillier temps are going to last, if we have any
forever.
Snow. If we have any snow coming our way for the snowbirds upstate. I know they need it. I would love to see them have a better winter than they did last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will join us at 11:33 with his predictions for 2025 for the Bucks and the Packers and the Brewers. And we will wrap up the show as we always do now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the On a Wing and a Prayer edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. You can also, if you have a suggestion for a topic, if you have something going on in your community or a guest or something you would like us to highlight, please email us. We actually do read them.
We do.
Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Also, just a reminder, if you have a smart speaker at home, and I know a lot of folks do, you can actually have your smart speaker play your favorite Civic Media station. All you have to do is say, play WAUK and Kabinga.
Kabinga!
It's right there.
Bazinga.
Bazinga? Okay, not Kapinga?
No.
All right.
I mean, well, Bazinga is already taken by the Big Bang Theory.
Ah.
So Kapinga is now yours.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Tell your smart speaker, say, play WAUK. And it'll happen for you just like
and
that.
And Kapinga.
And Kapinga. Right there. It'll be right there. Resolutions.
Yeah.
Yesterday, New Year's Day 2025. Do you still make a New Year's resolution? I would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Did you make a resolution this year? If you want to share what it is, have you stopped? Did you make a resolution last year that you stuck to? Did you make a resolution last year that you failed within the first 2 days?
And that right there, that's part of my opinion on resolutions. We'd love to hear from you. We want to know.
I think a lot of folks still do. And we all have goals and we all have habits I think we would like to change. But whether or not that's the day, this is the day I decide from this day forward, I will not do X.
Yeah.
I stopped making resolutions a long time ago.
Why is that?
Because it made me feel worse.
There it is. Exactly.
If I, you know, I'm not going to, okay, I've been shocker to everybody. Yes, I smoke cigarettes.
Okay.
It's a bad habit. Okay. Don't smoke. It's one thing my mother told me I really wish I had listened to her about. But I felt so badly after I would crumble within the first 2 days. It's like, well, now I'm a failure.
And that's exactly my problem with resolutions and all sorts of throwing the flag in the sand and making the declaration, I am going to do whatever this thing is. And if you don't do it or you can't maintain it, then all of a sudden you're a failure. You're a bad person. I decided a long time ago I would no longer say that I'm quitting smoking, because I think when you declare it to the world and you declare it to yourself, you start counting the days and you count the months and you count the years, and people put that on their social media. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. And there's nothing wrong with the accolades that come with a goal met.
Successfully doing your resolution, right?
Exactly. But for me, what I realize is that there are going to be times when I smoke and there are going to be times when I don't smoke. And I'm not going to kick myself when I start again. And I'm not going to over-congratulate myself when I stop. When I stop, I stop. I may never smoke another one again for the rest of my life. But this beating of oneself up over these things is just, it's harmful. Because it'll make you dive into, you're like, well, I'm a failure, so I might as well smoke more without apology. Or
And that's my point, too. Yeah. It's like, if you fail, mm-hmm. then the temptation to go back to this bad habit is just that much greater.
Absolutely.
I'm a loser. I'm a failure. I may as well just keep doing it.
And I think as far as, like, you know, whether you're quitting smoking or quitting drinking, which are both, of course, addictions. And I think unless you can really kick the habit either cold turkey or with minimal help as far as patches or gums or things like that.
Straight jacket.
Exactly. You need to talk to a professional. You need to talk to an expert and figure out what your plan is, because this is an addictive chemical you are putting in your body. Alcohol is something that people are addicted to. If you want to quit, you have to have a plan and you have to involve people. Also understand you're going to stumble, or you may stumble. And if you do, that's a challenge. That's all it is. You'll get over it. If you want to keep to it, you got to give yourself grace and leeway.
But again, if you say it out loud and you tell all your friends, I'm going to quit smoking.
Yeah.
I'm not going to smoke. I'm never smoking.
Good job.
Thank you. And then next weekend we go out and I light up.
Yeah.
And then I just feel like there's all that residual judgment because you declared it to the world and now the world is in on your failure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're putting a lot of different aspects to that as far as, like, you know, how do your friends judge you? Are they judging you? Are they mad at you? Do they care? Are they sad for you? How are you feeling about it? Like, it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
It is a lot of pressure.
So, like, if you want to quit smoking or quit drinking or want to lose that weight, as everyone can, I mean, millions of dollars a year are made in gyms on today and the day after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
People who are saying, that's it. I'm going to tighten it up. I'm going to get on the horse. We're going to do some push-ups. Are you willing to also accept that maybe you won't go to the gym today, or you might lose a bunch of weight and then gain some of it back? Because guess what? Your body is far more technical than you think. It's far more intelligent than you think. And unless you decide today, I'm going to lose weight and I'm never going to gain weight again, you have to become a different person with a different lifestyle, with a committed everyday program. Because the moment you stop working out, your body's like, hey, remember what we used to be?
Yeah.
We like that.
We're going back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole weight loss industry could talk for decades about, there's nothing wrong with losing weight. There's nothing wrong with getting healthy. But you should talk to your doctor about setting reasonable goals.
Reasonable goals.
And saying to yourself, all right, would I like to lose 100 pounds? Yes. What should I lose this year? How about I lose 35 to 40 pounds this year?
That's still a lot.
And it's a work, but it's not unhealthy. These people out who are like, I lost 175 pounds in 6 months. That's bad. That's wrong. And but in the world of resolutions, we prop them up as the goals.
Yeah.
And when they gain weight, because they almost always do, where are they then? They're in a they're lost.
I think it's easier to not advertise your resolutions. I do.
I don't disagree with you at all.
I think it's easier just to keep it to yourself, and you know what your goals are. Yep. And if you don't broad, I mean, and I know there's two sides on this. It's like, well, tell people, because then they'll help hold you accountable.
Yeah.
But I'm more of the, if I tell people and I fail, then I feel even worse because now all of these people know that I failed.
And that's not a good place, because then you anticipate a failure anyways. You've already put it in your head that you may fail, and then you can give in. I'm not saying that you, and I want, what I'm telling people is to get rid of the word fail, failed, collapsed, gave in. You just had a moment.
A blip.
Yeah.
It was a blip.
If you, listen, my thought is, if you are, you know, a pack a day smoker, and you can go a day without smoking, that's amazing. And you smoke tomorrow, okay. But you know you can go a day without smoking.
A full day, that's a really good point.
And that's important. So then try to say, like, all right, next week I want to go Tuesday without smoking. Or Wednesday I'll smoke four less. Or next week I'm going to work out twice. Or I'm going to buy less junk food. Like,
little things, little adjustments,
you
right?
You can make resolutions. Nothing wrong with that. But be realistic and set a year-long goal for yourself. Like, for me, I do want to get healthy. I do want to lose some weight. It's a big deal for me. But I don't want to lose 150 pounds by summer. What do I want to lose? I don't even know yet. But I do know that I'd like to be down a t-shirt size or two by maybe, say, fall, which isn't impossible.
No, that's reasonable.
That's reasonable.
It's about setting reasonable expectations.
Exactly.
Llama from Madison texting and listening on WMDX. I think a line in the sand doesn't work. Set a goal for the year.
Yes.
It's just more practical. John from Madison, maybe make the resolution to smoke one pack less per month, which is more attainable.
Exactly.
855-752-4842 if you want to join the conversation. Jake from Milwaukee, I decided to work out at least 3 minutes a day. A low bar, but I will conquer. But hey, Jake, that's better than not doing 3 minutes a day.
Exactly.
It's a start.
It's absolutely a start, because guess what? Next week can be 4 minutes. And then 5 minutes before you know it, you're doing a half an hour of push-ups or whatever, and it's great. And it's very small increments of time. And as what you were talking about before, as far as involving friends, if you're going to involve friends in these types of journeys, make sure you're involving one or two people who are on the same journey as you, or who have been through it before.
Who can commiserate with you.
Commiserate, hold you accountable, but yet can feel empathy for when you might be faltering. Don't make this your year to get all the likes on social media for losing weight, quitting smoking, or doing that thing, because you don't start posting the pictures when you start gaining weight, do you? And then because you don't get those likes, you want that attention, and I understand that.
Richard from Waukesha is on the line. We only got about 90 seconds left. Richard, thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Well, about smoking, I quit many, many years ago, and I found out later on from experts, and it's true. It takes about five times. It's like a football game with four quarters, but you got overtime.
Yeah.
And so it's not about just quitting once and being done. You know, you have to keep attacking it.
Yep. Keep giving it a shot. Thank you so much, Richard. That's a great point. All I need is a rubber room in about 3 months and a straitjacket, and maybe if I was unconscious. But anyway.
Boy.
Wait, just a couple things. I'm just throwing it out there. It's a thought.
Maybe we can set goals for Jane.
Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we'll go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Pete welcomed on John Egan, Green Bay-based comedian, to talk about the stand-up scene in Green Bay and De Pere, as well as some shows that he's got coming up. To hear any of the shows featured on the Civic Media Spotlight, listen to them live on the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play and Apple App Store, or listen after the fact on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Resolution, ladies and gentlemen, let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome a gentleman who has not been on the show before, but I've heard a lot about this guy. Very excited to have him here in studio, one of Wisconsin's own. And I said Appleton-based comedian before, I was wrong. He is a De Pere or Green Bay-based comedian. John Egan joins me here in the studio. Hey, John.
Hello, sir.
Great to meet you.
You too.
So, how are you? What did you find the place okay?
Yeah, no, I went to college here in Green Bay. Yeah. So I've not seen this studio before. I'm not sure why. I'm
kinda always new. Here.
It seems newer. So like it was just different because we actually used to do next door this Hinterland. Not Hinterland. What is it?
Hagermeister.
We actually used to do shows there.
Oh.
Forever ago.
Used to do shows at the Haberdasher.
Okay.
Right before Hagermeister.
Yeah.
Crowds were terrible. And they would all be in the changing rooms. But that's cool. Hangermeister is a good place. They have great music there sometimes. And do they still do comedy there?
No, we haven't done one for a very long time. But there was it was ownership management changes. But it was fun. It was a good time.
So I thought you were from Appleton, but Northeast Wisconsin. You know, I'm sure you work all the clubs. I worked years ago Skyline in the 90s. Frank Hermans, who I assume you've heard of, kind of a staple here in Green Bay, a great guy. He and his brother had a comedy club just down Washington here.
Yes, which was that?
It was called Docs.
Was it Docs? Okay.
And I don't think it was around. I think they both kind of moved on to other endeavors, but they were probably there 5 or 10 years, and I don't know if you've ever worked there. But other than that, I think Green Bay had a Funny Bone for a while, but do they have a full-time comedy club here right now?
Not a full-time stand-up club, no. There's Comedy City in De Pere, but that's mostly improv, but there are some stand-ups and other shows. But no, there is no full-time comedy club in Green Bay currently.
What do you make of that? It seems like there should be.
It's not sustainable. It's not anybody's fault. It's just like the market, because I help produce Don't Tell. If you don't know what that is, basically it's like a nationwide series of shows. And you sign up on the website and you get tickets and then what they do is at noon, they email you where the location is.
Oh.
So we do that once every 3 months.
That's kind of fun.
But it's like supporting local businesses that you don't know the lineup, and it's all a big complete surprise. And even that, like, we can't be like big cities. We can't do one every month because we don't sell out. It's just one of those things where I think like comedy for this area is one of those things. It's like if it's a big night out, but if people in this area know they can go to something whenever they want, they're less likely to do it. It's not. I don't think it's a knock. It's just how that is.
Yeah.
And you have to go around the Packer schedule, time of year, can't do summers. You have to figure it out.
That is so strange. Like here in Wisconsin, I remember, like, even when I was a stand-up, I was Chicago-based, but I loved, like, my favorite club was the one in Milwaukee, the Comedy Cafe at the time.
Yeah.
And, but they would all say, well, we're paying summer money, because they wouldn't get the crowds in the summer. Mm-hmm. So it's weird that you're dealing with that in a state that is, I think, supportive of comedy and has good comedians. You know, in the summer, people just don't want to be inside here because summer's so short in the Midwest.
Yeah. The only thing that balances it is I've never seen a state with more, like, one night shows. Like I have performed in like every single small town in this state. Like, right. That's the thing. You, like you said, they love comedy. Like people in the state love comedy, but like it's all just random here and there. It's like a Valentine's Day show or a New Year's show or like a random Tuesday in, you know, like where Jim Jack Links is made. Like it's something like that.
Are you okay? So what do you, what gigs do you have other than Marinette?
Right.
Which I'm sure you're looking forward to, as we all are. What do you have coming up around the area? Where can people see you?
Don't tell Green Bay. I think we're next one might be in March. But otherwise, I'm doing, it's sold out tomorrow, but I'm doing Comedy City New Year's Eve tomorrow. I'm doing a set of shows in Negaunee, Michigan, January 25th. And then
I've worked that room.
And then Sheboygan, 26th, the bowling alley.
Oh, nice.
Have you done that run
before?
Okay.
Negaunee's like an Italian restaurant,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Pasquale's.
That's kind of a fun.
Yes.
I hadn't done stand-up. It was like 2015. I had been back here like, I don't know, 3 years or whatever. I got a call from Samara in Milwaukee.
Yep, she's
like,
still doing that.
Hey, are you free Friday? I'm like, depends. Yeah. I hadn't done stand-up. Like, and I had been writing for 15 years. And she's like, we desperately need someone in Negaunee.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. I had a friend who was an FBI agent in Marquette. He met me there. I went there. The crowd was great. We ended up having drinks till like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I stayed at some mom and pop hotel.
Yeah.
It was a really fun gig.
That is one of the best. It's awesome. Cause the first time I headlined there, they had those beer drafts, you know, the giant tubes. And the crowd bought me one, and I ended up doing the whole thing like during my set. So I barely finished my set after I finished it because we were just having fun doing it. It was like more of the challenge.
Party.
And it was more of the challenge. I sold all my merch out that night. And then, I had to get drive to the terrible motel they give you. But it was fun. I'm very excited to be back.
That motel, I was sure I was not staying. I mean, it's 2 hours from where I live, Marinette. I'm like, I'm coming back. I don't want to stay. They were supposed to get snow. I wanted to get back before the snow. Well, my buddy, family friend, shows up with his partner, two FBI guys.
Yeah.
So I am picking their brain.
Yeah.
I'm asking them. They're swapping stories, drinking pitchers of beer. So I had to go back to that mom and pop hotel at 2 a.m. and say, hello.
Yeah.
I decided to stay here all. And they were furious.
I'm sure.
I was like, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me.
That place, man, that's something else. That's where you bring your own sheets and your own pillowcase and you do your own stuff.
I feel like something bad must have happened there at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
My guest is John Egan. He's joining us here in the studio. He comes to us all the way from De Pere, Wisconsin. You can see him. What did you just say? Comedy City on tomorrow night.
It is sold out. So I don't know why I plugged it, but it's sold
out. That's all right. It's just, you're in demand. Now people know to move a little faster next time. All right, so where can people see after that? Anything into the new year coming up?
Yeah, just other here and there. I mean, like Wapaka, it's on johnnyginstuff.com. I haven't memorized it right now, but I'm through March right now. So, you know, it just comes and, you know, I got to get in between kids' basketball games and other kids' dances and friends and family. And you know.
Is that why you work? You try to work close to home because you got young kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it because I can't say yes to everything, you know, and that's one of those things where you're like, you know, it's a good excuse, too, when you're not famous. Just say, oh, no, I got a family. I'm not a piece of crap. I got a family. I got stuff going on.
It's nice. I'm booked that night. Yeah. I'm heading. My daughter's making brownies with her friends, but it's a gig.
I got to see Sonic 3 and not fall asleep to help my kid.
All right. John Egan is here in the studio. And when we come back, I'm going to ask John. What am I going to ask you, John? I got so much to get to. We got to get to your sports website.
Yes.
That sounded really cool. Conrad's probably... Do you know what you know what this guy does?
I hear a sports website and I'm interested instantly.
All right, way to do your homework. Conrad loves sports too. So you guys, I see a friendship developing.
Right, I can tell through the glass.
How awkward can I make this?
I can tell. We're already friends.
All right, we'll be right back with John Egan. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Special Report. A ceremony is underway at the Carter Center in Atlanta for former President Jimmy Carter. His grandson, Jason Carter, just spoke.
Celebrating this incredible life. And a life that I think we can all agree is as full and powerful as any life can be. As someone said, it's amazing what you can cram into 100 years.
Carter's casket arrived at the center earlier this afternoon.
I'm Jim Crisul in Atlanta. A motorcade, including the hearse carrying the flag-draped coffin of former President Jimmy Carter, traveled 4 hours from Mr. Carter's small hometown of Plains to the Carter Presidential Center here. After a memorial service at the center that Mr. Carter planned himself, his body will lie in repose until early Tuesday morning.
Next week, Carter will lie in state at the Capitol in Washington, ahead of his funeral service at the National Cathedral. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Another win for Marquette. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a 79-71 win over Creighton. In Milwaukee, Cam Jones led the Golden Eagles with 22 points. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This was a hard game. Creighton, they make things difficult in a lot of ways on both ends of the floor. Another sellout crowd on a Friday night, Fiserv Forum. Where else would you want to be? We had some really good possessions as well.
In Madison, the Badgers blew out the Iowa Hawkeyes, 116-85 at the Kohl Center. John Blackwell with a career-high 32 points. NBA, the Bucks at home tonight against the Trailblazers. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears in Green Bay tomorrow at noon. Chicago hoping to snap a 10-game losing streak, but last week their defense held Seattle to just 6 points.
Edmonds, Sweat, the D-line, Jalen Johnson, they've got a lot of great players, and they're playing extremely hard.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A cold first weekend of January. A decent amount of sunshine, though. Highs near 11 today, lows near 0 tonight, and highs near 13 on Sunday. However, wind chill values today, tonight, and tomorrow as cold as 10 to 15 below. It's 13 degrees at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In November 2022, Michigan voters passed a constitutional amendment enshrining voting protections and expanding ballot access. After the legislature implemented the voters' directive, GOP legislators sued, claiming that only the legislature could make such changes. Proposition 2 mandated 9 days of early voting, protections for voters and election workers from harassment, and a tracking system for absentee ballots. It allowed for the funding of secure drop boxes and the counting of military and overseas ballots if postmarked by Election Day, and several other reforms. Conjuring the independent state legislature theory, which argues that the U.S. Constitution allows only legislatures to control election law, 11 Michigan GOP legislators sued. On December 20th, the Federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the lower court's denial of the Michigan legislators' claim. But importantly, it did so, saying that while the individual legislators had no standing to bring the case, a full legislature could, leaving the door open a crack. The U.S. Supreme Court mostly dismissed the theory in 2023's Moore v. Harper case, but Justices Thomas, Gorsuch, and Alito appear to be all in on the theory. For the moment, the pro-voter reforms in Michigan are safe, but be watching for the independent state legislature theory to pop up again soon. We have the decision at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight, and up next, we'll hear from the Todd Alba Show. This week, Todd updated listeners on the tragic attack in New Orleans on New Year's Eve. He focuses on the disinformation spread by Fox News about the perpetrator of the attack and Fox's goal to demonize immigrants.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this first live show of 2025 here at the All-Ball Show on this Thursday, January 2nd. Zomer's on the board. Taking your phone calls, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Going to get to you in a bit here. This election coming up tomorrow in D.C., the House Speaker. Is Mike Johnson in trouble, and how could it affect the certification on January 6th? Of President-elect Donald Trump. Also, have you heard of this, Somers? Norovirus.
Yeah, I know some people who got it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, knock on wood, so far not me. But we're later on in the show talking about norovirus, how to help prevent the spread of it. And if you have it, please stay home because I hear it's apparently highly contagious.
Oh, very contagious.
Yeah. So talking about that in hour two as well. Our what's worse for the day involving midweek holidays. Gonna want to stay tuned for that. But right now, talking about the top serious news stories of the day. Again, according to Channel 3000 here in Madison, a kindergartner is dead after an accident involving a school bus in Waukesha County. A kindergartner died this morning after an accident involving a bus at Silver Springs Intermediate School in Sussex. In a letter to families, Hamilton School District Superintendent Paul Milkey said the 4K student was at SSI to get on a shuttle bus bound for Willow Springs Learning Center. The district would not share further information on the tragedy out of respect to the child's family. And here in Madison, again, according to Channel 3000, the Wisconsin Election Commission voted this morning to investigate the Madison City Clerk's office after 193 unprocessed absentee ballots were found during a post-election audit process. The commission, made up of six members appointed by both Democrats and Republicans, argued a lack of transparency from the Madison clerk required the commission to dig into the process. Important to note, as Zomers did in hour one, that according to the Dane County officials, there would have been no difference if all 193 processed ballots had gone to one individual, would have been no difference in any outcomes, but still important to get to the bottom of this. Also talking about the top news stories yesterday, again, this terrorist attack with the president, FBI officials are calling a terrorist attack now in New Orleans, 15 now counted dead, including the shooter, the alleged shooter, at least 30 more injured and some in critical condition. And simultaneous, well, that's not accurate. Later on in the day, this attack in New Orleans happened about 3 o'clock in the morning after things started dying down a bit on Bourbon Street, New Orleans. Later in the morning, out in Las Vegas, a Tesla truck exploded in front of the front doors of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. According to reporting now, according to NBC, the driver of the Cybertruck that exploded outside Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas was a member of the elite Army Special Forces known as the Green Berets. Law enforcement today was seen outside of a home in Colorado Springs where Matthew Livelsberger apparently lived. Here's the statement from FBI in Denver. Says the Denver Field Division of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and the Colorado Springs Police Department are conducting law enforcement activities at a residential address in Colorado Springs. FBI Denver personnel and specialized teams will be on site for several hours. This activity is related to the explosion in Las Vegas on Wednesday. Due to an ongoing nature of the investigation, no further information will be provided out of the Denver FBI. What they're saying now, and again, this is in the early stages, they don't believe, officials, that this was in conjunction or coordinated with the attacker in New Orleans. This morning, FBI officials held an updated press conference saying despite early reports, including from that kind of debacle of a press conference in New Orleans yesterday, it appears this guy in New Orleans, another American citizen, acted alone, but was radicalized by the extreme Islamic group ISIS. So those are the facts. Now, here's what's interesting and also disappointing. And we talked about this a little bit earlier this week on the show. As we move now into 2025 and we're under 20 days, whatever it is, 17 days or so away from Donald Trump being sworn in for his second term of president, I think it's critical for what we're doing on this show to bring you facts, confirmed information, and then juxtapose that to help us understand a little bit of what happened back in November at the election. Because if you were watching one news source, you get a very different picture than what I just told you over the last 20 minutes or so. According to CNN, and this kind of breaks it down, and I'll interject with my analysis, says erroneous early Fox News report about New Orleans terror attack is warping the political dialogue in the aftermath of the deadly rampage. The false report from Fox, which was attributed to anonymous sources, confused the public. And the article says, and evidently President-elect Donald Trump, too. I don't think he was confused. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. The article says this misinformation is still circulating more than 24 hours later, serving as a cautionary tale about the news ecosystem as the new year begins. During the 10 a.m. hour yesterday, Fox reported that the New Orleans suspect's truck crossed the U.S. border in Eagle Pass, Texas, quote-unquote, 2 days ago. Some of the right-wing network's coverage explicitly said the suspect drove across the border, leaving viewers with the impression that a foreigner might be responsible for the deadly carnage. In fact, as we said, the New Orleans attack suspect was a United States citizen born here and an Army veteran. But those facts were not publicly established at the time Fox aired the faulty information. 8 minutes after the first Fox segment that mentioned the border, President-elect Donald Trump issued a statement about quote-unquote criminals coming in, unquote, from other countries. While Trump did not mention Fox directly, he is known to be an avid consumer of the cable network and has tapped several of his personalities for his incoming cabinet. Some of Trump's family members and political allies also immediately connected the attack to quote-unquote illegal immigration as cited by Fox. Here's what Don Jr. wrote, quote, Biden's parting gift to America, migrant terrorists, unquote. Sharing the Fox claim on X, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican in Congress, exclaimed, quote, shut the border down, unquote. Now, Fox tried to walk back the incorrect report about an hour and a half later. The network said the truck used in the attack was actually in Eagle Pass nearly 2 months ago, not 2 days ago. More importantly, the truck was being driven by someone else at the time. It was available on the car rental app Turo. So the details about the border were completely irrelevant. As we said at the top of the show, this app Turo, who I've not heard of before this and never used, apparently, and this might be part, may be part of the terrorist thinking, alleged terrorists, that unlike when you go to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, they take all your, you know, everything but a DNA sample, basically. So if you cause any damage, it's easy to know who you are and who rented that vehicle. Apparently, Turo is kind of sort of like an Airbnb where, hey, this is the name I'm giving you. I give you a credit card, never meet you, and I pick up the thing, and that's it. A lot less detailed order to get. So someone else had this truck in Texas, allegedly, completely unrelated to what happened yesterday. But Fox News conveniently left that out. According back to this article on CNN, but the damage was already done. References to Eagle Pass continued to spread across social media. Fox continued to stream a clip on its website of the incorrect information. Quote, some Republicans continued to beat the border drum well after Fox News retracted its initial report, unquote, according to the Daily Beast's Josh Faleo. Ironically, Trump's original statement used the New Orleans attack to say that he was right and the quote-unquote fake news media was wrong about the threat posed by illegal immigration. If he had waited a couple of hours to react, he would have learned that the suspect, as we said, was indeed a U.S. citizen. A Fox News spokesperson did not respond to a request for comment about the misreporting. And again, unfortunately, key word and stress on unfortunately, this is a good opportunity in terms of having a real life example. And then look, it's fair for listeners of this program or other times. And this is one of my, you know, one of my goals for 2025, be more intentional. Make sure I'm giving you facts. Make sure I'm giving you examples of what I'm talking about. So it's one thing for me to say, well, you know, Donald Trump always exaggerates, or, you know, Fox News are a bunch of liars. It's better for me to do what I just did. Give you factual information of what really happened and a clear example of what Donald Trump and the right-wing media did. And now we start to really get down, as Judge Weitzman says, where the chickens can get at it. Look at this one example. Now, amplify that across months of the 2024 election. And I truly believe that that may have been the largest reason that Donald Trump got reelected. Is you have otherwise rational and decent people in our communities, our friends and our neighbors, who we go to church with, we play golf with, we sit next to in church pews. And they go home and they watch a very specific form of media, Fox News being the big one. And they trust, well, it can't be on TV. They can't say it unless it's true. Because a lot of those folks still live in the Walter Cronkite era in their mind in terms of, well, media like that's not going to lie. And so they believe it to be the truth. And you get a steady diet of that for weeks and months. And then you go into the voting booth and you vote according to what you believe to be the truth. And that's why I'm taking it up as a critical mission for our show in 2025 to really lean into what we say every day, pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And just like the other story there in Madison, look, I mean, if it's I'm a former Republican who's not a card-carrying member of any organization, any political organization right now. So I don't care whether it embarrasses Democrats or Republicans. I just want the truth out there because you deserve that. We deserve that. And I believe that if we're given the truth, as Lincoln said, we'll make good choices. So I think it's a good example, a very fortunate, sad, tragic example, but a good example of how we can see what's true and what's not true. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And as we say, we're going to have some fun along the way as well. In hour two, we'll ask the question, what's worse, midweek holidays or... Are you a fan of midweek holidays, hours?
I mean, I'll take it over not having it.
It kind of messes up the equilibrium a little bit for me.
Very much so, yes.
But we'll talk about that a little bit before we come back. Also, want to get this in on the other side. Big election. No, we're not involved in it directly. Big election tomorrow in Washington, D.C. for House Speaker. Mike Johnson's allies warning that a speakership battle could delay Donald Trump's victory celebration. What? It could happen. I mean, these days you never know. We'll come back, explain, take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is the Todd Allball Show for a Thursday. See, midweek vacations.
Midweek holidays.
We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from noon till 2. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from the Maggie Dawn Show, minus Maggie. Filling in is guest host Dan Schaefer, along with Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing in Communities and Law Forward's Jeff Mandel. They discuss Act 10 and the complexities in repealing the 2011 law.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. I'm Dan Schaefer, here with Angela Lang, who is co-hosting with me live from Racine, Wisconsin. And we are joined as well for this half hour of the show by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. Jeff, thanks again for joining us.
Dan, I owed you a question. You asked me a second question, though, about whether this was going to stick.
That's right. So, yeah. Okay, just to reset for people who might just be joining us after the break here, we're talking about Act 10 and Jeff's piece on why what the ruling means and the recent decision to strike down Act 10. And one of the things that I was asking Jeff about was whether this time will be different from previous legal challenges. And because I'm cynical when it comes to these things.
Me too.
This will, you know, this news will hit the feed. Act 10 is struck down. It's like, all right, well, it's going to get overturned eventually.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. But as Jeff, you described in our last segment, why this is different. And so could you help us understand why this next step in the process might be different as well?
Sure. So we talked about the theory here and trying to make sure that when the legislature draws a line and treats people differently, it draws that line. It does so on the straight and narrow. It does so honestly. And that's not what happened here in Act 10. So the next step is shortly before Christmas, the trial court here in Dane County issued a final order, and the legislature has appealed, has taken this case up on appeal. So,
which was expected, right?
Entirely as expected. The court has is entertaining a question about whether it should keep Act 10 in place while the appeal is going forward. That is, in an effort to make sure there's not some kind of whiplash in the state where collective bargaining is allowed again.
Sure.
And then maybe an appeals court takes it away. Should the court just say, hey, let's hold everything steady and see what happens? And there's briefing happening on that while the appellate briefing is also moving forward. So we'll know more. In the meantime, the court has told everybody just to hang on, no collective bargaining until it decides that stay question. And we're going to go forward and we're going to have the we're going to have an appeal. It is very difficult, of course, to predict what an appellate court is going to do. But what I can tell you is, and tell the listeners, is that our legal theory is quite clear. It is simple and easy to understand. And it is based on decades of established precedent in Wisconsin of how the equal protection guarantee in the Wisconsin Constitution works. So while I can't promise that this will definitely stick, what I can say is this is not novel. This is not some kind of fancy hide the ball, you know, magic trick. This is a really basic nuts and bolts legal case. And it is my belief that that it should be affirmed on appeal. We'll see what happens. We'll see exactly who's on the courts and who gets to decide. But judges who are looking at this based on precedent and caring about what the law is are going to come to the same conclusion that Judge Frost came to, that Act 10, as it was written, is not constitutional in Wisconsin.
We're joined here by Jeff Mandel of Law Forward, who is talking about the recent piece that he wrote at the Recombobulation Area on Act 10 about the likelihood of this, this ruling from Dane County Circuit Judge Jacob Frost, who on December 2nd declared core provisions of the 2011 Wisconsin Act 10 law unconstitutional. So is this likely to be headed towards the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Jeff?
Oh, I think this is almost certainly going to wind up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Exactly what the timing on that is and things sort of remains to be seen. There's all kinds of lawyers' games that are going to get played out over the next couple of months.
There's always lawyers' games. No matter what, there's always going to be some lawyer games going on.
Yeah, there's a reason people hate lawyers.
Lawyers are great.
But after the lawyer games, what's next? Is this headed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? And what do you expect like a timing on that to be?
Yeah.
Because I think that's obviously critical.
Yeah. And it's really hard to say. It's partially going to depend on what happens with the stay. If the stay is granted and there's no collective bargaining, that makes it all the more important that the Supreme Court hear the case sooner rather than later, because public sector workers in Wisconsin have already been deprived of their rights for 13 years. And if they're going to continue to be deprived of their rights while the case moves forward, then we need to get to the end so that one way or the other, we've got resolution. How exactly that works? I mean, I think there is still time. If the Supreme Court wants to hear the case this term, right? The Supreme Court works in terms and it decides, it hears all the cases by mid-May or so, and it decides them all by around the 4th of July or so, and then it picks up again right after Labor Day the next year. So if the court wants to decide the case this term, there is still ample time for that to happen. We've certainly rushed cases through faster than that.
Let's get to work, Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yeah.
it's hard to tell. There are a lot of things that different lawyers and parties have to do, and there are lots of things that different judges are going to get to decide in the next few weeks that'll help to illuminate what's going to happen and what kind of time frame we're on.
Yeah. And just to take a step back and recombobulate on a couple of the topics that we've been talking about here, Angela wrote a piece called "Where Do We Go From Here?" And you're talking about this piece on Act 10. I think one of the things in our immediate future is just where we're going to go from here in Wisconsin is we're going to have an election here on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yep.
I know. Yep.
Yep. Yay.
We're going to have an election here in Wisconsin for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's going to be a big deal. It's going to impact cases like this very one.
Yeah.
Maybe not this exact case. Like Jeff said, there's a lot of uncertainty. All of the legal Calvin ball that always seems to happen with all of this. But I think I'm just trying to connect these two things. Where do we go from here? And what do we understand about this? Well, one of the things that where we can go from here is to get involved in this Wisconsin Supreme Court race and having a pro-democracy majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and maintaining that on cases like gerrymandering, like Act 10, like a lot of the work that you folks, good folks, do with Law Forward as well.
Well, it really couldn't be more important to have a court that cares about democracy and cares about the rule of law here in Wisconsin. And I do, for those listeners who are exhausted, and this goes to Angela's piece today, who are exhausted by hearing every single election in Wisconsin is the election of our lifetimes. It's the most important election in our state. What I can say is that if we protect a pro-democracy and protect a pro-democracy majority on the court this year in 2025, then the next two elections will not be existential for control of the court, and we will have a period where every election in Wisconsin is the most important ever.
That's a great point, Jeff.
Thanks for your work, Jeff.
Thank you so much. We're headed to break now. Stick with us here on The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, you're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Dom Salvia.
Next time, it's Monday, so our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K., will join us. Plus, it's January 6th. The counting and certification of the electoral vote is scheduled to take place. Tune in. We'll be wild.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace.
A ceremony honoring former President Jimmy Carter at his presidential library in Atlanta just ended. His flag-draped casket arrived there after a four-hour trip from his hometown of Plains, Georgia, where the procession stopped in front of his childhood home. The president's son, Chip Carter, remembered his father during the ceremony.
He was an amazing man, and he was held up and propped up and soothed by an amazing woman. And the two of them together changed the world. And it was an amazing thing to watch from so close and to be able to be involved in.
Carter will lie in repose at the center until Tuesday morning. The family of a 19-year-old Israeli hostage is calling on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to free her. The BBC's